with me. What is the real reason why you are not dating right now?
Because my roommate doesn't like the idea of me bringing men home.
For the last time, we're not roommates, we're married.
I didn't know you were in here.
Yes!
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom. I am your host. And joining me, of course, is my co-host for today.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And I'd like to welcome you all to the dish. It's going to be a very, very interesting episode, to say the least. Our other co-host, Chris, is not here. And you'll know that for those of you who are watching on our Patreon video live stream, you'll know when Chris is not in studio because Trish is sitting in his seat.
Uh-huh.
So here we are, another week. It's been crazy, to say the least. There's been a lot of like weather issues all over the U.S. It's crazy. Like, it is like colder in Texas than it is in Alaska or Antarctica or something like that. But nonetheless, it's freaking crazy. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of shoveling snow. I am tired of doing all those things that just seriously just suck. You know, here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, babe. There's nothing worse than deciding to pick the month of February to go dry, to not drink, quitting smoking, and on top of that, go through one of the worst like patterns of weather that we've ever had. Snow on Monday, snow on Thursday, snow on Saturday, snow on Monday, and
shovel, snow blow.
Right. And it's like a fucking bottle of shampoo. It's like worse than Chris's freaking, you know, his relationships. Rinse and repeat. I cannot. Although I love Bobby. I have to throw that out there. So I'm really happy for him. And the reason why he's not here, by the way, is because he's in school. So, and he's working on some of the work that needs to get done. And that's why he can't travel all the way down. Plus, he lives like an hour away now. So It's kind of hard for him to like get out of school and make it here into the studio in time for us to do what we need to do. So, Trish, how are you? It's been a crazy month.
Yeah.
Thus far.
Yeah. I'm all right. A lot going on. I have a lot going on.
And listen, it's better than not having anything going on.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Keeps that mind engaged, keeps you busy, keeps you going.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, no, I had a job offer. It was a short-term job offer for 4 weeks. And I made the decision to turn it down.
Right. But sometimes you have to, right? It's like you have to weigh your options and what's out there, what's happening. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Does it make sense for me? Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that as long as you do that tactfully, then in the end, the decision that you made will be the right one for you.
Yeah. No, it's weird, but like, it was too much in such a short amount of time.
Right.
And I just couldn't make it work.
Right.
So, it sucks, but it is what it is.
Well, even though you turned it down, it's their loss. So, because you are amazing at what you do.
Well, I mean, like maybe
whatever it is that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there might be a future opportunity, who knows, but like literally it was like I got a call on Saturday. Right. They wanted me to start today and like trying to rearrange the next 4 weeks of my life.
Right. So, which meant that, by the way, he wouldn't have been here in studio with me, and I think that's probably one of the main reasons why he didn't.
Well, that's part of it.
Because, you know, he would miss me. He wouldn't see me for 3 weeks, and we would be like, oh, my God, what would we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was part of it. But, you know. But
oh, I feel special.
I actually had a really nice conversation with Mama Kim yesterday. Mm. She called me because it was the anniversary of my brother's passing, and we just got to connect and talk. And God, I love that woman. She is so wonderful.
You know, when you come across human beings who are genuinely invested in the people that she meets and the people that she engages with on a daily basis, mm-hmm. those are keepers. And, you know, we met Mama Kim through the show.
God, how long?
Two plus years ago.
How long have we been doing this?
We're going on our fifth year next month.
Oh my God, shut it down.
March 7th, it'll be 5 years. And so anyway, so what I was saying is when you find someone who is, regardless of what's going on in our lives, right? I think we all have issues. We all have things that go on and we try to navigate those. But this woman really takes the time to engage with the people that she's meeting, whether it's online. We've never met her in person before, but I feel like she's a part of my family.
Yeah.
Right. And she's just amazing. And not only has she engaged with us and really kept an amazing overall relationship with us, even if it's just virtual or through the phone or, you know, video calls, as we often do, but she's also really started to engage our extended family in the podcasting world. And I think it's just beautiful. And she's I have to say that her son Sean is gay, and that's the reason why we connected. She was looking for information, et cetera. And
great choice,
right? I feel that, you know, you won the lottery with your mother. She is, you know, Sean, if you listen to this episode, I want to tell you that you are very fortunate, more fortunate than most mm-hmm. in our community, to have a mother who every day goes out of her way to be the mother that she needs to be for you and for all of us. So, you know, mm-hmm. she's great. So
yeah, she really awesome. Is. And he's a cutie.
Yes, he is. He's a very, very handsome young man. He's finally moved out and he's living on his own. And, you know, they're navigating that. They live in California. And so it's kind of like, you know, interesting to see how the COVID cases are doing and things and stuff. So, but they make it work.
Mama Kim was like, if Sean was a little bit older, I wish you to. I'm like, Mama Kim, you can't set us up.
She would destroy your boy.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not that terrible. I might.
So, speaking of relationships, it was Valentine's Day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am one that I'm single. So to me, Valentine's really doesn't mean anything other than, you know, I can call my mom and say, hey, Ma, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. And have those kind of chats with friends. But on a personal level, I don't have a significant other. And so for me, it's just like, you know, anytime someone brings something up about Valentine's, I'm just like, well, I'm just going to normalize the fact that I'm single and advocate for that, because that's just as good, right? There's nothing wrong with being single, especially on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm.
So yesterday for Valentine's Day, I was going back and forth with Steve.
Of course.
And he was cooking dinner, which he invited me to. And I was like, okay, fine, I'm coming over. You have to cuddle me and make me dinner, maybe even watch a movie with me. And he's like, how about just dinner? And I was like, never mind, I'm not coming.
He's a mess. He's a mess, but we love Steve.
And then he was like, I'm making lobster and steak. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming.
It's like, oh God.
But I didn't go.
He made lobster?
No, he was just trying to get me to come over.
You should have.
Yeah, I was emotional wreck last night.
So, speaking of things that we discussed last week, we had an amazing show. We had Matt Steele on the show with us to mm-hmm. talk about the movie Devos. The promo was just right behind us. So make sure that you go to devosthemovie.com and watch it. It is freaking hilarious. I watched it for a second time because I wanted to sort of kind of catch all the, you know, the things that we had talked about on the previous episode. Go listen to it and make sense of how that the movie ended. Right. Because to me, it was like the ending was so unexpected, but it's good. Make sure that you go watch it.
Mm-hmm. Mama Kim watched it. She said she enjoyed the show with us and Matt, and she really enjoyed the movie as well. So everybody should watch it.
They should. And it's a gay flick, and we need to support our gay producers and writers, so you know how that goes. Mm-hmm. All right, so listen, we've got a couple of stories. A lot of them are actually good news related to the LGBTQ plus community. There's one story in here that's not sort of canonized. It's from Arizona, but we'll talk about that in more in length. But why don't we just start off with one of the first stories that we have. So this story comes to you all the way from Philadelphia, so the city of Philly. I didn't know this, but you know, I'm sure that there are, but there's an LGBTQ senior center, or there's a senior center that's LGBTQ friendly. It's the JCAA center in Philadelphia that has started to give out COVID vaccines for its residents. And you know, they ended up getting the first doses of Moderna, the Moderna vaccine, last week, and the second one will be scheduled for the next month. A team of four from the Mazzani Center held a vaccine clinic in the community room of the JCAA building, with vaccinations starting at 10 a.m. and finishing up around 6 p.m. Why do I bring this up?
Yeah, why?
First and foremost, it is awesome that vaccinations are starting to roll out in a way that is where we can see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? But this story really just took my brain and mushed it around, and I started thinking about what will happen when we get to that age, right? And when we start looking for options, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay in this house for the rest of my life because I don't have kids. I don't have people that can take care of me if I ever were to need to be taken care of.
I mean, you have Oliver and Fitz.
Right, but I mean, don't even start.
They'll just eat you.
Oh, pretty much. Just drop them on the floor. Oh, look, food for a month. But 2 days in, they'll be like, yeah, this is starting to rot. We can't.
Let's be honest. We're going to be single for the rest of our lives, right? And we're going to end up like getting a compound and all living there and like having some animals and, you know, whatever.
So that's basically it. So I started thinking, you know, like, what an amazing idea. Like, although this isn't an exclusive LGBTQ center, They are very, very into helping people in the LGBT community, especially elders, in finding a place where they can safely go and not be persecuted for who they are. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think that, you know, we really need to start talking about this more and talking about what will happen to our elders, right, in the LGBT community, and how can we, the younger generation, start thinking about the best ways to be able to ensure that those in our community in their golden years are able to have a life that is I'm out of words.
Fruitful.
Fruitful and deserving and respectful and safe.
So you're saying all this, and I know that I don't know if you've ever seen any statistics on the fact that, you know, an old folks home or retirement home, the STD rate is really high because these old single individuals are, you know, engaging in sexual intercourse. Now in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, so maybe we put together a retirement home for the gay community. I'm like, that shit is gonna be rampant.
Oh my God. It's gonna be like a freaking, it's gonna be like, every night will probably be like, you know, P-Town under the dick dock.
Yeah. But like, is that your cane or is that your, I'm sorry, it's not
the
funny.
Utility closets will be used. I mean, we're very resourceful. We find ways of getting it done. Mm-hmm. No, but in all seriousness, I think that it's something that we really need to think of. You know, when you think about all these other subgroups, like when you think about the Jewish people, when you think about, you know, different communities, they have and put in place plans to take care of their elders. Mm-hmm. And I think that we really need to start looking at the possibility of doing that for our community. Mm-hmm. Because it's scary and dangerous to think how people in our community, especially, you know, gay men and women, transgender folks, could be mistreated in some of these facilities at a point in time in their life and where they can't really speak up and advocate for themselves. And I think that we have the power to really do something amazing and make sure that we have housing for LGBTQ folks.
I've also seen a couple articles about how marginalized and minority communities are actually being vaccinated at a lower rate than the general heterosexual white community.
Right.
And I think that this article kind of speaks to that because the LGBTQ community is a marginalized minority community.
Right.
And the fact that we have these people going in and providing this service for people that otherwise wouldn't get it is pretty amazing.
Right.
And we need to continue. And I've seen a couple stories where different groups are setting up like different Things similar to this, where they're, you know, going into communities of color and providing the vaccine for people that otherwise wouldn't get it. And I think that this speaks a lot to that.
Right. And you know, first and foremost, I agree with you. So, you know, not only are there a lot of studies now, there's a lot of research being done on the fact that marginalized communities are being vaccinated at a rate that is just unacceptable. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot of that. You know, a lot of the people that are posting, hey, got my first shot, hey, got my second one, on my timeline on social media really are just white folks. Mm-hmm. And I'm not seeing a lot of, you know, black and brown people coming out and saying, hey, I got my vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it's a combination of all those things. Like, we know that there is a very, very disproportionate amount of vaccinations that are occurring in low-income neighborhoods. But it could also be that, you know, we don't talk about those kind of things. Like, right, we don't put them out there on social media, or we're scared to, or, like, you know, a lot of people say Latinos, you know, black and brown people tend to not want to get vaccinated too. So that there's a lot of things that go into these you know, reports, but in the end, there is a disproportionate amount of people being vaccinated compared to black and brown people.
Which is weird to me. I don't quite get it, because the way it's supposed to be structured is, like, you know, what was it? 85 and older, or 75 and older, that was the first round and first responders. So personally, I think that everybody should be, you know, have access to it. But I guess what's going on is, in areas where people of color are living, there is no facility for them to get to, or there's no way for them to get to a facility.
Right.
But the facilities where people can go and get the vaccine are dominantly, you know, white areas, you know, of people of privilege, pretty much.
Right.
So, yeah, it's really interesting, and I can't believe that is still happening. But I do know that there are some movements out there to really combat that and make a change, just like the one you're talking about.
And, you know, just so that you guys know, I mean, it was announced last week that, you know, the U.S. has officially secured enough vaccinations to vaccinate over 300 million Americans, which means that, you know, those that want to get vaccinated will get a vaccine mm-hmm. by July. So that's that. And that excites me.
So do you want to get a vaccination?
I want to, not because I want to take the vaccine. I don't get, for example, the flu shot. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten one. And I don't, only because I just don't.
Yeah.
Right. But one of the side effects of these lockdowns and things like that is a reduction in the amount of flu cases that have been reported this year. And that's because people are social distancing. Most are wearing their mask and washing your hands. People are very cautious about the spaces that they're in. And so you've seen a reduction in flu cases. But nonetheless, now COVID is, you know, it's here and it's going to stay. And for me, I wouldn't get a vaccine for the flu, because I know my mother gets a vaccine for the flu. And I don't have to worry about getting her sick.
Right.
But with COVID, it's a little different, right? This, as we've seen, is very aggressive in most cases, or in a lot of cases. And there is a potential that I could expose my mother and put her at risk. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I will get the vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, just for that. Mm-hmm. Just to protect her, because, you know, I could say, oh, I don't care about me, but in doing that, I'm also putting the people around me in risk.
Yeah. I've never been an anti-vaxxer, and the one year I didn't get the flu vaccine, I got the flu and it was fucking terrible. So
I don't think I've ever experienced, like, I don't even know, like,
you would know.
I can't tell you if I've ever had the flu.
Oh my God. You would know. So. It is terrible.
So that is that.
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations to the, you know, the John C. Anderson LGBTQ friendly senior apartment building, in Philadelphia, for really, you know, going out of your way to ensure that you have a very diverse, group of people, in your facility. That's mm-hmm. awesome. So what else do we have, Trish?
Well,
do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, sure. Fine. So
I just think this is a hysterical story and it's awesome. So go for it.
So we all know that there are plenty of different gas stations around the country. And come and go is one of them. And I will never forget the first time I saw a come and go. I was like, is that really the name? K-U-M and go.
Come and go.
Yeah. So obviously my brain was like, this is so sexual and weird and like a gas station. I don't get it. But anyway.
Where are they based? So this is like a Southern thing, right? Are they based out in the South?
You know, why don't you look that up?
I'm going to while you talk.
Okay. So this guy, a video game streamer, his name is Justin Moore, was talking about his favorite gas station, Come and Go, in one of his streams. Little did he know that just a couple months later, his joke would turn into an official Come and Go merchandise that supports the Trevor Project. So he had reached out to he wanted to purchase a Come and Go hat, and it was unavailable. So he sent them an email, and he was like, "Dearest Come and Go, I would very much like to purchase a Come and Go foam front trucker cap. But upon examining your merchandise webpage, I have realized it is out of stock. Might I also suggest a Come and Go jockstrap, eventually becoming part of your merchandise collection? Have you seen the excitement around Chromatica jockstrap by Lady Gaga and the Nike jockstraps? ?" 2 days later, he received a response from the sales team. Okay. So, and so more eventually he got the response. Hold on. I'm trying to find it. I'm speaking at Come and Go sponsored, blah, 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 blah. Basically they said that they would push forward his request for a jockstrap to the marketing team, and the merchandise team. But what came out of it is now Come and Go, they're not only embracing this concept, but they have created a t-shirt, and the t-shirt says Come and Gay Rights,
and I want it,
by Come and Go the gas station. And literally it's $10. You can go to
Come and Go
comeandgo.com, I guess, to get it. And all proceeds are going to the Trevor Project, and we know we've talked about the Trevor Project on the show a lot. And this is one of those things, like when Apple released their Rainbow Watch Band, I bitched a little bit. I was like, well, you know, I appreciate that they released this during the month of June, but that some proceeds of that $49 watch band should be going to a charity of some kind. And the fact that not only are they creating a Come and Go, Come and Gay Rights shirt that is now legit a thing, but the money is actually going to an amazing cause that supports the LGBTQ youth and beyond. It really helps with, you know, people that are suffering from, you know, depression and potential suicide. The Trevor Project is a really amazing organization. So I never thought I would say this, because I'm pretty sure Come and Go is a Southern thing or a Midwestern thing. But
it's Midwestern.
Yeah. Yep. But they are really taking a stand and saying, hey, we may be a Midwestern gas station where you come and go, but we also support gay rights. And a lot of places where Come and Go probably is, there probably aren't a lot of resources for those individuals. So it's a huge statement for the locations in which Come and Go is.
Right. So they're based out of Des Moines, Iowa, and operate about 400 stores in 11 states. So you most likely have an opportunity to get yourself a shirt if you can. I know I'm going to. I'm going to order them as soon as we're done with this episode.
Oh, you can get a tank.
I want a tank top, and I want a t-shirt,
a tank. I'm looking at the merch right now. Like,
I hope they make extra large, extra, extra large for this big bitch.
Tell me.
So anyway, when I saw the logo, I was like, really? Does a gas station come and go? Like, all I keep thinking are just like these, like,
I just
back alley, like bathrooms where you can just come and go.
I just would never even think that, like, Come and Go or any gas station would like take a suggestion like this and like make it something so great.
And the fact that, like you said, they reached out to, you know, The Trevor Project, is that the one they're working with?
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic, right?
Yeah, they have the size that you need.
And you know that the person, the PR person who actually took that comment, you know they've got to be gay. Because how do you know to go to the Trevor Project?
So the shirt is actually $19.95.
I'll take it.
But for every shirt sold, come and go, we'll donate $10 to the Trevor Project. So right. Half of the cost will be going to a great organization.
All right, so I'm ordering mine. I'm getting a T-shirt and a tank top, and maybe I'll wear it for one of our future episodes.
Mm-hmm. And their, I guess their minimum donation is going to be 10,000. So if people, so they're going to donate 10,000 either way. But if people purchase more, they will donate more.
So let's make it work.
We'll put that link on our website tonight.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Come and go, come and gay and rights. Literally, they have up to
and can we talk
have up
about
to 4XL lady, so you're fine.
Can we talk? Oh, good, thank you. Can we talk about how cute the guy is?
Oh my god, he's adorable.
He is. That's not what I meant to do.
No, I actually tweeted him. I want to get him on the show to talk to him about it, but I have yet to hear back from. I believe his name is Justin.
Justin. Right? Well, yeah. Justin, you're one hell of a hottie, and we would love to have you on the show.
I mean, I could play his like little clip. Do you want me to play the clip?
Sure. Do you want to plug
it's
in?
It's on my computer.
Oh. Oh, here.
Come and Go is a gas station. Come and Go is a real gas. Somebody remind me, I want to get Come and Go merch. For those of you who don't know, Come and Go is a gas station. Come and Go is a real gas station. I could wear one of those trucker hats. Let's look at the Come and Go retail. They have them. They have them. Oh my God, it's out of stock though. I hate it here. Dearest Come and Go, I would very much like to purchase the Come and Go foam front trucker cap. But upon examining your merchandise webpage, I have realized it is out of stock. Might I also suggest a Come and Go jockstrap eventually becoming part of your merchandise collection? Have you seen the excitement around the Chromatica jockstrap by Lady Gaga or the new Nike jockstraps? Sincerely, Justin.
2 days later.
So Come and Go responded in regards to your suggestion for a Come and Go jockstrap. I will send it on to our sales team. Thank you for the suggestion. Somebody remind me, I want to.
I love his attitude. I can't. Love his energy.
Yeah, I think he might have a YouTube show.
Oh my God. We need to have him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a cute little story. I love it.
And thank you, Come and Go, for supporting the community.
Seriously. That's one of the most beautiful things that come out of things like this, right? Is the fact that they go out of their way to support our community in one of the most meaningful ways, which is obviously the Trevor Project for us. So that is fantastic. So do you want to go do one more story or take break?
Up to you.
All right, so why don't we do this? We are going to take a break. Let me just get all the graphics and everything ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, we have more stories and more dish. So we'll leave you with some music, and we'll be right back.
Everybody's got a pain inside. Imaginary wounds they fight to hide. How can I hate them? When everybody's got a pulse. I dream in a world that wants my soul. It tells me if I hate, I can control. But I don't believe it, I cannot conceive it, 'cause everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Again, I hang my head to cry. I can't find the reason why they die. we'll find the answer blowing in the wind. That everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you're gonna hate now when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down if you can't kill the truth that it's inside of us? It's inside our blood. It's inside of us. I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
All right. Well, welcome back, ladies and gents, from the break. That break came and went very quick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, that was, of course, Pulse by the amazing Melissa Etheridge. It is a song that we haven't played in a very long time, but we're playing it today because we have a story that sort of kind of ties into the whole homage that we did at all of the victims of Club Pulse. Back when, you know, it occurred in June 12th. But anyway, we have good news coming out as a result of some initiatives that some celebrities are taking. And our amazing co-host, Trish, a.k.a. Nick, is going to tell you about them.
Yeah, no, first I want to talk a little bit about the fact that I mean, every time I hear that song,
it just puts you in a place.
It puts me in a place. And then I think about every single time that we talked about a victim.
Right.
And all the people that we lost, the 49 souls that we lost that day. And, you know, mass shootings are actually haven't been happening that much lately because of COVID, I think. But I mean, the reality, it's crazy to think that this actually happened in 2016. 49 people were killed at a gay club.
Right. And, you know, the thing is that I can remember exactly where I was.
Oh, me too.
The moment that I heard. I was behind the bar at a gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
We had just closed. It was a little over 2 a.m. in the morning when we were about to close our bar. And I believe it was a Saturday. Could have mm-hmm. been.
Yeah, no.
And I remember just seeing all these notifications coming in, and I open my phone and I just look at my boss and I just start bawling. He's like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like,
"Yeah."
I just give him the phone and he just like, "Holy shit." And, you know, immediately after that, New Haven Police Department had cars parked in both of our gay spaces in New Haven. You know, they wanted to know if the bars needed anything to feel safe. Our boss basically never left the door.
Nope.
He didn't let anybody in with backpacks or anything. And you got to understand geographically where we are located. Our bar is right next to the Yale campus. And so it was normal to have Yale students come out of class and come into the bar for a drink with backpacks.
Yeah.
He stopped that immediately. And there was a lot of Yale students that were pissed because they had to walk back to their dorm, drop off their bags or whatever, and come back to the bar. But I appreciated that he was willing to sacrifice and piss off some people to make sure that his patrons and his staff were safe.
Yeah, I remember like right after it happened, actually, maybe a couple weeks, I think it was a Sunday because I was on the main bar.
Right.
There was a shooting around the corner.
At Viva's, that's right.
Yeah, and he locked the door and told us all to get down.
I was there. I was doing karaoke.
And I literally, like, I was like, what is happening?
Right.
Is this really happening right now?
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I remember because where I set up my karaoke machine for Sundays.
You're right at the door.
Well, the door is behind me, but I'm right next to a window. Mm-hmm. So anything that comes in could hit me. And I remember just ducking down as soon as he said, get down to the floor. And it was pretty crazy. And he's like, turn off the music and everybody get down and nobody leaves. Mm-hmm. He didn't let nobody leave.
Yeah.
Until
everybody that was in the bar stayed in the bar.
Had to.
Yep.
He was not letting you out. It's pretty intense. But tell us a little bit about what we're about to cover here.
All right. So Ricky Martin.
Oh, that butter peak in Puerto Rican. I love him.
He's beautiful.
Oh, yes, he is.
He has become the face of the Pulse Foundation, which is amazing. So Out Love Hate is a campaign to raise funds for a permanent National Pulse Memorial and Museum. But not only are they raising funds for this museum and memorial, but they're raising funds for a scholarship, a community outreach, and different educational programming. From 1 million participants, right now they've received about $49 million. I don't know exactly how much they need for the memorial and everything, but this is probably going to be an ongoing thing.
Right.
And they're probably going to, you know, maintain these educational programs and these scholarships. So it's pretty amazing to finally have somebody with so much clout be the face of, you know, the Pulse Foundation.
Right. And to think that Ricky Martin just came out probably about maybe 5 years ago. Probably a little less when he announced.
I think we talked about it on the show.
Yeah. So, and the fact that, you know, he's got his twins. He's got another child. He's also married. His husband is gorgeous. Yusuf. Yes. Yusuf, I believe his husband's name is. But anyway, that's my fellow countryman. I love him. He's amazing.
He's beautiful.
And he's always been amazing. And he really, truly has a very, very amazing heart. And he does a lot of these types of things. And so.
And they also made a point to say that, like, Ricky Martin is not being paid at all
right.
to be the face of this movement or, you know, the foundation. He's doing it on his own goodwill. And it's pretty amazing. And it literally started on Valentine's Day. So the Out Love Hate website is now up. It's outlovehate.com. You can go there. You can donate. It's, you know, another place to just support the LGBTQ plus community. And some of which that, I mean, like Pulse, I mean, whatever you can give.
So one of the cool things too, so for the $49 that they're asking, right? So they're looking to raise $49 million. And so a person can donate $49 and to the program. And part of that includes or will include a way, for example, for you to upload a selfie and become a permanent part of the actual memorial itself. In what capacity, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool because it allows for you to also, you know, put your stamp on history, being a part of supporting something that really helps us heal as a community after the shooting that occurred at Club Pulse in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, no. And Martin said, I ask everyone to join the movement. commit to change and share the love starting on Valentine's Day.
Please call him Ricky.
Ricky.
It's so sexy.
Ricky.
Ricardo. That's my brother's name.
We've went through hell with this story. I mean, we did 49 episodes where we literally highlighted every single person that was hurt and lost and killed. And now we have, you know, there's been some positive things around it for a while, but this is a big thing and it's really great.
And, you know, we also had in previous episodes, I believe, two of the survivors that came on the show and talked about, you know, their experience a little bit, right? We didn't want to push because I remember we had one of the survivors and we were questioning whether or not we even wanted to go there, right? So we talked a little bit about what he was doing to lift himself up out of that and some of the projects that he was working on. but it's overall, it was very painful. But, you know, one of the amazing things that we did with Pulse and the whole situation was, like Nick said, we took 49 survivors. We dedicated an episode to each one of them. We talked about them, talked about their lives, quoted their friends, talking about them and how impactful that loss was to them. But then we also took the opportunity to shame senators in Congress that failed to support sensible gun control laws, right? Mm-hmm. And so the series was called Angels and Assholes. So we were highlighting an angel and then we were shaming two senators and called them assholes. So fittingly so, we have one story that's a little bit negative in this roster of stories that we have that we're covering today.
But you do know that Biden recently called on Congress to enact common sense gun law reform.
Yes. So we're again talking about this at the national level. Mm-hmm. But we have two senators in the state of Arizona, two Republicans, who are really just assholes. And so here's the story. So we have two Arizona Republicans that said the following about non-binary people, liking them to animals, calling them it. So two Arizona legislators are facing ethic complaints after one linked identifying a non-binary, after one likened identifying non-binary to identifying as a chicken and another one referred to a non-binary person as an it. The state reps John Fillmore and Kevin Payne, both Republicans, made those remarks Wednesday at the House Government and Elections hearing on a bill that would bar the state and local governments from offering any gender options other than male or female on official documents, according to the Arizona Mirror. So, as a result of you being dickheads and really just being hateful, you two horrible people are our assholes. So there you go. So it's horrible. It's horrible.
No, but you know what? This kind of reminds me of a conversation, and I know that it's been in the news recently, about trans men and women and playing sports in high school.
Right.
That's been in the news. It's been addressed by the press secretary.
Right.
But I had a conversation with my father who was having a really hard time understanding it. And, and by conversation, I mean he was pretty adamant about how he felt.
Right.
Which I don't need to share on the show. You can make your assumptions. But my personal opinion is if a man transitioning to a woman wants to play on a woman's team, they are a woman and they should be allowed such, vice versa.
Period.
Yeah. And then the counter argument is, well, if a man is transitioning to a man is stronger or a man is faster or whatever it is, you know, they have, you know, more testosterone or whatever it is that people are like, it's not fair.
But also keep in mind that people who are transitioning in most cases will be transitioning and also going through hormone therapy.
They're on blockers. Right. They're on hormones. They're literally doing everything to transition. So like I mean, there is part of me that understands the argument, but like I just I can't get behind it. Like
it's a hateful rhetoric that they're using to further suppress one of the most underrepresented groups in our community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for all of the advancements that we've made in transgender rights, right? You know, we went through this little period and where they were constantly being attacked by the previous administration, which, by the way, I'm very happy that I have not said that man's name in weeks.
Proud of you.
In the previous administration, but to see that, you know, on day one, I think like literally the next day, the ban to allow transgender men and women to serve actively in our military was reversed. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to see the national conversation again surrounding transgender rights, but also LGBTQ rights. And we are on the right path once more, right? And all you need to understand is, regardless of how you feel, it is what it is. They are protected. Gender is a protected category now under the, you know, Civil Rights Act, mm-hmm. and thus should be allowed to do and participate in all civil, you know, public spaces, just like any other human being has that right to do.
I wonder.
Period.
I wonder. You know, when you think about the Olympics, right?
Right.
What if we had, or any country had, a transgender individual, you know, go to the Olympics? Would that be a problem?
Because it hasn't happened. I don't think it has happened that we know of, right? Because we
don't know. As of current, no. Right? But the reality is, it's like, that is a world, it's a worldwide sport, like, right, event. Like,
we know of an Olympian who once was a male and then transitioned, that was a, mm-hmm. a, you know, a gold medal triathlon athlete, Caitlyn Jenner. Mm-hmm. But not someone who was actively in the Olympics. And honestly, because the Olympics, so each country has their regional Olympic committee, right? The U.S. Olympic Committee is for our own country, but then you have to, you know, take into consideration the rules that govern the International Olympic Committee. And what would happen if, for example, I believe there's something happening, I think the next Olympics could be in Qatar, if I'm not mistaken. Can you Google that and see if that's, and if it is, you're talking about Olympics being held in a country in where homosexuality and LGBTQ people are viewed as less than a sin. You could be put to death.
It's supposed to be in Tokyo, but I don't think it's going to happen.
So, you know, the crazy thing is that we just don't know. And there's always going to have to be that one person that is the first. Mm-hmm. And I hope that when that happens, and I hope it happens sooner than later, that we throw our support behind the individual looking to participate and cement their legacy in this world.
And also, like, to go back to the story itself, the mm-hmm. fact that we're even addressing the fact that somebody said it,
right,
in reference to a human being is a huge issue. That being said, the Biden administration needs to provide some type of education,
right,
to the House, to the to the Senate, to the Judicial Committee, to the Supreme Court, to everybody about what the fuck it means, they, them. Okay?
Right.
You cannot call somebody or some, you know, an individual it.
So I saw a tweet by someone, and the tweet was meant to be educational. And the tweet read the following. It said, if they're not a man, and if they're not a he, and I can't call them a she, what do I call them? Them.
Them.
That's it. It was very simple, but very impactful, right? You are a person asking yourself, mm-hmm. I can't call them a he, I can't call her a she, what do I call them? You already have the vocabulary. You've been using this vocabulary all of your life. Mm-hmm. Just really stop thinking. Stop being so fucking ignorant.
Yeah, and again, that's like, it. You look at a lot of Native American cultures, they have, right, way more than two identified sexes. Like, we need to broaden our minds. Right. And, like, I'm a victim of it, too. Like, sometimes I will be in conversation with somebody, and I will refer to her as him, and... But I'm aware of that. Do I apologize and do I get corrected? Yeah. And that's okay.
But that's part of the learning process.
You're trying.
Right.
You have to try and understand that even though they, them is hard to conceptualize when you grew up, he, her, him, his, like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's hard to conceptualize and kind of like put in a sentence. And I think that's what's hard for people.
Right.
But the reality is, like, you got to get over it. You got to learn. You have to be aware. And when you get corrected, don't be offended.
Right. And it's important to recognize that these two state representatives are not doing it because they're confused and they don't know any better. They know better.
Oh, no.
They know. These are people who are in the state legislature who are actively going out and attacking people by comparing them to animals.
That's why I'm saying that the Biden administration needs to provide some type of programming or educational something or other for everybody to go through so they understand. And when they go through it, if they continue to use that rhetoric, something needs to be done about it.
Right. I agree 100%. And so for you two assholes who decided to
I'm just waiting for it.
That decided to take it upon yourselves to compare human beings to animals? Go fuck yourself.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway.
Remember that? Remember?
Fuck her. You. Or was it fuck her?
I think it was fuck you.
Fuck you. Okay. All right. So that is that. I want to mention one more thing, being that we were talking about transgender men and women and people who are non-binary. I want to talk about The Mandalorian.
Okay.
Pedro Pascal. So as we know, this man has been in the forefront of television now for the better part of, 4, 5, 6 years. He's huge hit as The Mandalorian. He also played in Game of Thrones. And he has a sister. Her name is Luz Pascal, who recently came out as trans, and he sent out the most beautiful little message to her on Insta, and acknowledging the fact that his sister is trans and that he loves her, and she in turn also said that he has been very critical in my path and in my journey to becoming me. And basically what he said to acknowledge it says, it's Arluz, mi luz, Arluz with a lot of love, always. And it just shows that, he really has. So basically what he's going was like, my sister, my heart, my luz. Meaning my sister, my heart, my light. And that's what the name luz means. It's spelled with an X, and I'm thinking it's probably lux, but in Spanish it would be luz. And it's just beautiful to see artists really come out of their shell and support their family members, because we've said this many times on the show, no matter how much support you get from the community or from people outside of your inner circle, your initial family, there is no better support for someone in the LGBT community than the support of their parents and the support of their immediate family members, because that really sets you up for success. Not that, if you don't have that, you can't be successful, but it just really sets the tone for how you are going to engage people out in life. And it's just beautiful. So congratulations to Luz and, Pedro Pascal, thank you. Thank you for supporting your sister, and thank you for showing the world that it is okay to be transgender. So yeah. I love it. I love him. And he's so hot too. What he played something Martel.
I don't know.
He was Elia Martel was his sister, and she got killed by the Mountain in Game of Thrones. And he played a gender bending, like, he loved it all. He was always in Littlefinger's, like, whorehouses, and he would have sex with both men and women. So he also played a character that was very fluid when it came to sexuality, and he was quite comfortable with it, actually. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool to see. Oh, my God.
I think that's it, really.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's all we're going to have for you folks. It's coming under a little under an hour. But of course, we've got some things that we need to chat about. So one of the first things that we always do, of course, is honor our amazing honorary mother, Mama Kim. So I'm going to toss it over to our good friend Nick here to tell us what her stories are, her suggestions.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find one more thing I wanted to talk about, but I can't find it. Whatever, it's fine. Mama Kim, we can do it. All right. So, all right, let me scroll. All right, everybody, I've got to make this bigger because I'm getting old. All right, everybody, so it is Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, Jen Psaki. I said that right?
Psaki. The P is silent.
All right, so Jen Psaki shuts down loaded questions on trans inclusion with an emphatic trans rights are human rights. Proud of that bitch.
Yes.
Powerful true story of a gay Jewish couple who resisted the Nazis through love. And number three, Adam Rippon announces engagement to boyfriend in sweet Instagram post.
And we were talking about Olympics. Adam Rippon is an Olympic skater who really just thrusted himself out there out loud and proud. And we're proud of him and congratulations. All right. Well, ladies and gents, on this day in gay history, when?
Of course, brought to you by?
Nobody.
Okay.
Okay. GayRealEstate.com. Is that what you wanted me to say?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Go to GayRealEstate.com and find a house near your homos. It'll have a lot of value and you can do a lot of good things and your neighborhood would always look
great. And your grinder will be popping.
What? Absolutely. You can come and go as you please through the neighborhood.
On the corner of every home on GayRealEstate.com is a come and go gas station.
Right. Let's do that. All right. Well, ladies and gents, on this day in gay history, of course, when February 15th, 2009, where? In the great country of Canada.
RuPaul is Moose Knuckle right now.
Moose Knuckle's probably like nose deep in a paper somewhere. The Canadian premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race. So on February 15th, RuPaul's Drag Race premieres in Canada. It is an American reality TV series that features RuPaul as the host and as mentor of aspiring drag queen superstars. So that's that. And since then, you've got the UK, RuPaul's in the UK, and they're all over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this woman, well, RuPaul, did an amazing thing with the drag community. She has literally put it on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been since the 80s. So.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I've never gotten into it, and I feel bad about it, but...
Mm. I watch certain seasons, like...
I mean, we met Lady Bunny. Wasn't she on the show?
Yeah. Well, no. Lady Bunny, I don't think, was an official contestant, but she's super friendly with Rue, and they know each other, and they've done stuff. But we were on her booze cruise in New York.
That was fun.
Yeah. Her and her wigs trying to get through the door.
She had, three people holding up her hair.
She's awesome, though. All right. Listen, guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your favorite device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation. It also gives you access to the video version of the show before anyone gets it after. Donations can be in any denomination, are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. And now here is Nick with a weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there who want to keep their buttholes on point. Yes, we're just, we're going to talk about the future method.
Don't forget, you can
wait. I just love that.
Don't forget, you can get your discount today for the future method. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per person.
Oh my God, your voice was on point, first of all. I feel like this just gives you a different feel about how you're going to approach your next segment.
I mean, literally, all I can think about when you hit that button, have you ever seen Sleeping Beauty? Disney movie?
No.
Okay, there are three fairies, like this show, and each of them have a different color. And the entire movie, they are fighting, and they're changing the color of everything. There's like red, blue, and green. And like the wedding dress, red, blue, green, and they keep changing all these colors on these on all of the things. And like every time you hit that, I'm like, it's my fairy music.
Yes. And he loves it. All right, so
yeah, let's put a rubber on this one.
Doop, doop.
So our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcasts. It's also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio. I'm also going to announce that you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, Twitter, at Gaytalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gaytalk20.com. Tom, that's enough gay stuff, so go.
All right, so if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or one of the individual hosts. Just
lately,
not Chris,
me and Tom.
Because, you know, Chris is not here to read them, at least not yet. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can read and answer those questions for you on the show live. Just call 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting DigitalStreamRadio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.